MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
The Johannesburg Stock Exchange has fired former EOH Holdings Director Anushka Bogdanov R500,000 as an imposed a 10-year ban from serving on boards of JSE-listed companies for falsely claiming a PhD from the London Business School. Bogdanov served in key governance roles at EOH between mid-2019 and 2020. Today I want to talk to Professor Pami Natasan from the Institute of Directors to discuss the implications, what it reveals about director vetting, and whether the JSE's intervention was appropriate. Also, what legal recourses exist and possibly how we can prevent such misrepresentation in the future. Pami, a very warm welcome to you. What systemic weakness do you think allowed this person to serve as a director while claiming a PhD that she hadn't been awarded?
Thanks, Jeremy. I think we've seen it in many cases recently, but certainly, the due diligence in vetting on candidates before they are put forward for nomination to the board seems to have been a key problem over the years. King 4 is very clear. It says prior to their nomination for election, candidates' background should be independently investigated and their qualifications should be independently verified. So it couldn't be clearer and more specific on exactly what needs to be done. The fact that companies, and it's many JSE-listed companies even, have not seemed to have done these things consistently over the years, I guess is concerning. Having said that, this is also coming from, we're talking about 6 years ago now, and I'm sure there's been improvement over it because of this issue being highlighted in the media via the JSE, et cetera, recently.
Why do you think some companies then are not vetting correctly or are just paying lip service?
So I think there's a number of things. So I definitely think you would, if you had to check now, would see improvement in it because of the increased awareness of this matter in the last couple of years. I mean, the Thabi Leoka matter was in November 2024, and now we're sitting in, July 2025. Why they're not doing it? You know, let's just go back to that. So King 4 is a voluntary code in South Africa. Of course, it's brought in via the JSE listings requirements. So the listings requirements mentioned there that listed companies should apply King 4 on an apply and explain basis. And what that means is not all the practices are taken as rules, right? They're taken as recommendations. And the organization is meant to consider what's best practice for them and how do they explain to their stakeholders how they achieve good governance at the end. I think, unfortunately, this hasn't been done very well, where companies, you know, say they apply King 4, but then you see these sorts of things after the fact and you start to question when if they didn't do this recommended practice, what else did they not do? And why are they not telling us that they didn't do these things?
I'm looking at the fine and the ban, R500,000, 10 years. Do you think that is sufficient to deter future misconduct of this nature?
So that's an interesting question. I've thought about it quite a bit myself because I went to compare to the censure on Thabi Leoka as well. So this, similarly, it was 500,000 and fine there, but there it was a 5-year ban and now it's a 10-year ban. I think, you know, this is one of those how long is a piece of string type of question. You know, many will have different opinions. Perhaps it should have been more because of the board fees earned. You know, perhaps the person should never be able to serve because of the ethics consideration. For me, I don't think we should dwell on whether this value and this number of years is correct, because I don't think we're going to get to an answer. For me, more importantly, is that this issue has been highlighted and that this, the nature of it being, you know, in the media, in the spectacle, in the public eye, and the reputational impact of that, I think, is the real deterrent.
And do you think it will be?
Definitely, I think so. And I think companies are going to be more vigilant in how they do these checks going forward. I hope that we see less of this sort of thing going forward.
So in that respect, then, do you think that directors who lie about their academic credentials should face something stronger, maybe broader penalties or even permanent bans?
I think that's a difficult question, and we'd need to ask the lawyers, because there are other things to consider in our Companies Act, like whether people, you know, could be declared delinquent, etc. But those things are sort of for gross misconduct and the like. And so not being a legal person is difficult for me to say. I do know, and I've seen other cases in employment, for example, and I think I read one this morning where the company took action against an individual who had faked a qualification, and the company's actually won a legal damages out of taking a case. So I think it could be a case that the company decides to take action if they wish to on this type of thing.
So in that respect, then, what concrete rights of recourse should a shareholder or any stakeholder in a big business have when there is the type of misrepresentation that we're talking about?
Again, difficult, because the relationship is between the director and the company, not necessarily between the director and the shareholder. So that the contractual relationship is between the director and the company. So the most the shareholders could do, and again, from a layman's perspective, because I'm not a lawyer, is hold the company to account to take action against the director.
Is there a better way for corporate boards to tighten vetting of credentials? Maybe independent third-party verification, or maybe that exists already, I don't know.
And that's exactly what's supposed to happen, right? Before an individual is even put forward to the AGM to be voted onto the listed company board, they should be doing those MIE checks, etc., to make sure that these qualifications are legitimate. I've also seen a trend of the international qualifications being the ones that are being abused. So, for example, the last one was, I think, London School of Economics. This one is London Business School. Mm. So I think perhaps another tip is to just pay very careful attention to the international qualifications, and because oftentimes our local organizations struggle to vet those, and then people may turn an eye at that point and say, you know, it's fine, we vetted everything else, let's move forward. I think this is now reason to pause and just say, let's, even if it takes more time, costs more money, let's really check these international qualifications.
And just a final one, repeated exposure of scandals like this, and you've indicated two already, there have been others. Do you think this indicates maybe a deeper culture problem in South African corporate governance?
So definitely, it seems like perhaps it's become a societal norm, that it's a common practice, so it's become acceptable, perhaps. And so I think there's two sides of it, right? We can ask, what did the companies do and why didn't they check the qualifications, etc. I mean, in this instance, the JSE announcement actually states that it was established by the organization that the person falsely stated that they are PhD. So in this instance, at least the company would find out at some point. But I think the other side of it is then the individual themselves and a question of ethics. And this goes back to now a moral compass in society and what's okay and what's not okay.
I'm going to leave it there. Professor Paminathasan from the Institute of Directors, thank you very much indeed.